From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Today, the Supreme Court took a fresh look at government efforts to protect children from sexually explicit material on the Internet. 4 years ago, the court struck down Congress's first try. The court said that although the statute was aimed at protecting children, it had the effect of outlawing material that was perfectly acceptable for adults. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports.
The Supreme Court has said repeatedly over the years that government may not reduce adult speech to the level of a sandbox in the name of protecting children. And so when Congress rewrote the law that had been struck down, it tried to avoid that. Instead of outlawing patently indecent material for everyone, it outlawed material harmful to children unless the website operator requires proof of age with a credit card as a condition for access. The law, however, never went into effect. It was blocked by two lower courts acting in a lawsuit brought by a diverse group of website operators, ranging from a leading fine art vendor to a mainstream web magazine to a website providing information about safe sex. The lower court said that the law's standard for judging what is harmful to minors is unconstitutional because it instructs judges and juries to make that decision based on contemporary community standards. The court said that since web publishers cannot restrict access to their sites geographically, the most conservative communities will be able to veto material for everyone else. The government appealed to the Supreme Court, which heard arguments today. On hand was Mitchell Tepper, one of the plaintiffs, who operates a website providing information about sexuality for people with disabilities.
My site is not pornographic, and I maintain that my site is not pornographic. But what I'm concerned about is what other people's perceptions of my site might be.
Inside the courtroom, Solicitor General Ted Olson defended the law, telling the justices that the government has the right to require anyone who chooses to operate on the web to do so in a manner that protects children from being exposed to sexually explicit material. Those who pollute the stream from which we all drink, he said, have some responsibility to make sure minors are not harmed. The justices, however, focused almost exclusively on what standard should be used to evaluate what is harmful to children. Justice Kennedy, is it a national standard? Answer, no, it's an average standard, what the average person would think harmful. There's no geographical limitation. Justice Souter, but doesn't the term used in the law, community standards, have to mean something geographical if it's going to mean anything at all? Answer, we're now in an era of national TV, national media, unlike several decades ago when standards were much more local. Justice Breyer, would it satisfy you if we said the word community in this statute means the country as a whole? Olson, after some fudging, said he could live with it if the court were to interpret the law that way, but he added a few minutes later that he did not think Congress was trying to impose a national standard. Justice Stevens, then what do you think community means? Justice Scalia, do you really think it's possible for a North Carolina jury to decide if something offends a Las Vegas jury? Justice Ginsburg took up another question, whether the restrictions imposed by the law do any good, since overseas websites can easily escape its restrictions and are just as available in the U.S. Olson conceded that the government might not be able to prosecute many foreign websites, but he said Congress was still entitled to do what it could. The perfect, he said, should not be the enemy of the good. Justice Ginsburg then turned to the list of exhibits the government had submitted, material put online by many of the plaintiffs in this case. I was impressed, she said, that you say these would not be covered by the statute as a matter of law. Possibly not covered, interjected Olson, noting, for example, that Artnet.com, a leading fine art vendor, might be prosecuted for pictures on its website of Andre Serrano's controversial photographs. Representing Artnet and the other plaintiffs, the ACLU's Ann Beeson picked up on that point as she opened her argument. We're not reassured, she said. The government has changed its mind already. Previously, it said none of my clients were subject to prosecution. Now it says it can prosecute three, and it can change its mind again. Justice Scalia, well, if they're providing those items, such as the Andre Serrano photographs, then they're in the pornography business. When Justice Breyer once again raised the question of a national standard, Beeson said juries will inevitably apply local values, no matter what the standard in the law. Justice Souter, so you're saying there's no way to regulate this? Answer, we're saying there's no way to bar the display of this material. Blocking software, argued Beeson, is just as effective as this law, but less restrictive of adult speech. Justice Breyer, so you don't think any standard for evaluating speech harmful to children would be constitutional? Answer, not if it imposes a significant burden on adult speech. A decision in the case is expected sometime next year. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.